Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, we are giving away $20 to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. You can do that in the second hour of the show. I always say it's the best barbecue place in Denver. You know what? I'm going to retract that and rephrase it. It is hands down one of the best restaurants in the entire city. That's how good this place is. Easily the best barbecue in town. The chicken marsala could be on any five-star menu. This is going to sound so ridiculous, all right? So Mandy and I ordered there over the weekend, and she got like this Philly cheesesteak sub, which was fantastic. I'd never had it. And she loves onion rings. I'm not a big onion rings guy. Those onion rings were like the size of bike tires, loaded and coated like an onion ring should be, and I could not stop eating them. They were so good. Then, a while back, Dave from Smokin' Dave's recommended the bread pudding, and I'd never had it, so I asked if they had it for dessert. It has this white glaze. I don't know what it is, but I could literally drink that with a straw. It had this chocolate sauce, which was amazing. And Mandy, being from the UK, is essentially a bread pudding aficionado. And she said, this is unbelievable. You could go to Smoke and Dave's just for dessert. One of the best restaurants, period, in town. Not just barbecue, restaurants, period. Giving away $20 in the second hour of the show. Mace, I want to ask you something about happened at Broncos today before we get to the league. Mm-hmm. You took a video of Courtland Sutton.
Yes.
And I saw it, and then you texted me. I'm telling you, not even 15 seconds after I happened to see it on Twitter, mm-hmm. I'm like, I cannot believe the symmetry here, because yeah. I was like, Courtland Sutton, when I saw him running, all I'm thinking is, unhook the trailer.
Yeah.
It's like he was pulling something.
Now, that drill, it's a specific drill where they're supposed to hit a spot when they're running. Hit a spot and then turn a little bit. But the one thing I can say is that he did go through that drill with considerably more of a hitch than his fellow wide receivers did. And we talked about this earlier in the week. He's still not all the way there. He still has a hitch in his gallop right now. And basically he's playing, but he's not Courtland Sutton in terms of how he moves just yet.
And I have no idea when he's going to get there, because now that the season has started, I think it is fair to say no player in the history of the NFL has ever gotten healthier as the season has gone along.
Unless they have been just on the side, have been not playing.
Yes, unless
they
haven't
been on the pup list, or they've been inactive. That's
anybody who has played in a game has not gotten healthier as the season has gone along. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
All right, our man KJ Hamler talked to the media, and he came up with a couple of interesting nuggets that we need to talk about. Monday, a couple days ago, Players' Day off. Not for KJ Hamler. After dropping that pass in the end zone, apparently showed up at the facility and caught over 100 over-the-shoulder passes that mimic the one that he dropped. That's number one. Then we found out, I think this stunned everybody, that Hamler said that Teddy Bridgewater requested that Hamler and Bridgewater have lockers next to each other. And this was done after the last preseason game. When Hamler's asked why, he said, well, it's just because, TB wanted to take a young guy under his wing. Let's start it off with, before we get into the move in the locker room, the real estate portion of the show, how much better do you feel about Judy being out, knowing that Hamler is very happy to be in the NFL, but he wants to be a really good player.
Yeah, the other thing, the fact that he caught 100 passes and had someone throw it to him, you know.
Is that Mark Thews?
Well,
who was it?
Well, no. I don't know who the coach was, but that's a Tim Patrick thing. Because Tim Patrick would have Mark Thews throw him 100 balls every day instead of the jugs machine. Because the jugs machine, it'll put the ball basically the same spot every time. Same spot, same velocity. If you have a human throwing the passes, then it's going to be more variable, which is more like
that's why Paxton Lynch should, that's why Paxton Lynch should be doing it, because you never know where the ball's going to be going.
Now, I was, you know, I was making my point, but go ahead.
My bad.
Keep talking. Go ahead.
My bad.
Go ahead. You interrupted me. Just keep talking.
Okay. So, he does what Tim Patrick does. And to me, for a young guy, that reminds me of what Cortland Sutton did as a rookie. And what some of the other, we watched Philip Lindsay do that as a rookie. It's that type of stuff that makes you believe this guy has a chance to be terrific.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned Tim Patrick, because that's what made Patrick into a guy who, when he first came in, was dropping a bunch of passes to somebody who, by last year, didn't drop a pass. And Hamler saying that, I think that opened some eyes and ears, and that makes you think, okay, he's on the right path. That being said, the biggest thing for him, I think, it's not working hard, it's can you stay healthy? The biggest thing for him is still what is beyond his control. But he's trying to take care of all the things that are in his control, like getting extra work catching passes to make sure that, like I said, he's never going to have a perfect drop rate. That's just not the type of receiver he is. But can he get to where he's not dropping every sixth or seventh pass thrown at him? If he can, he's a viable player.
I'll tell you what, when I hear a story like that about Teddy Bridgewater, when I see Von Miller make the comment that he did to Bridgewater during the game, haven't heard a speech like that since 18 was here. I look back at his history and say, okay, played for Minnesota, played for Carolina, played for New Orleans. Now you can call him a journeyman guy. He's with the Broncos now. With the type of guy this guy is, with the type of the way that he leads, and I know he's not an elite athlete, but I'm thinking to myself, this guy seems too good to be true as a leader and as a teammate. And why is this guy constantly bouncing around?
He's constantly bouncing around. Well, first of all, what happened in Minnesota is what started that. He gets hurt. 2 years pass. Effectively, they move on. He rehabs, but there's no room for him. And then he goes to the Jets, and the Jets draft Sam Darnold, and they trade him to the Saints. The Saints are interesting because there's an alternate universe where if Drew Brees retires after the 2019 season, Teddy Bridgewater is their quarterback last year. But Brees opted to come back, so Bridgewater went to Carolina. Now, interesting, Carolina, of course, that didn't work out, but Teddy has mentioned it a few months ago that Carolina didn't work on situational football, red zone, third down, late game. And he made the point today of saying that in practice every day, the Broncos work on red zone, third down, end of game. And, you know, Teddy doesn't let a lot stick in his craw, but I think the fact that the Panthers struggled in those areas and that they struggled in the red zone and people put the red zone issues on him last year in Carolina, I think that bothers him because his attitude is like, hey, well, we didn't work on it. Now they're working on it here. And they were basically an Albert O fumble away from having a very good day in the red zone on Sunday.
I can't remember hearing about a Broncos player where guys were openly effusive and complimentary about any player on the roster. Justin Simmons is one of the nicest human beings you will ever meet. But I don't hear this type of praise heaped onto him. And we can go all the way back to the time you and I started covering this team when, you know, Jake Plummer was the quarterback and Al Wilson was on the team. John Lynch, one of the nicest human beings ever, right? Champ Bailey we covered. We can go on and on and on through the Super Bowl teams, meaning teams that went to the Super Bowl. Obviously, one team won it. I've never seen anything like this with Teddy Bridgewater. It's just like every day there's a new story about this guy. Vic Fangio saying, man, we're like-minded. Right. And and Drew Lock saying, I can really learn a lot from him. And then you have Noah Fant saying he puts the ball in the perfect spot. Von Miller saying, I haven't been inspired like this since Peyton Manning. KJ Hamler saying he really wanted to take me under my wing. I just rattled off five examples off the top of my head. Can you think of one guy that has had five examples in their career, except for maybe Peyton Manning, where it was, he made me a better player, and really that's all it was. It was the same narrative every single time. He made me a better player, but that was it. Everything that I'm saying about Bridgewater, five different topics.
I mean, there are other great quarterbacks that you could say that about, but have we ever heard that said about a quarterback who, let's face it, is mid-tier?
Mid-tier, I mean, first year. He's been on. He's been here for like 3 months. And what?
And he split the reps half and half until late August.
It's like Mary Poppins showing up in your door and everybody falls in love. That's what it feels like.
Is that a problem?
No, I'm not saying there's a problem with it at all. But it's like he is new on the scene. This is a new team for him. And everybody is like melting at his feet. Like, what a guy. I can run through a wall for this guy. He wants to be my mentor and he throws a great pass. And I can learn a lot about leadership. And I haven't heard a speech like that since Peyton Manning.
I hate to say this, but
it's crazy.
It doesn't reflect well on the quarterbacks that preceded him, does it?
No.
I mean, I was thinking this when the Broncos put up the clip about Von Miller mic'd up talking to Bridgewater and telling him that we haven't had that since 18. And hey, it makes everyone feel good right now, but you can hear beep, beep, beep. Man, Vaughn just threw Simeon and Case Keenum and Joe Flacco and even Drew Lock under the bus.
Drew Lock, because Drew Lock is still on the road when the truck is backing up. Those guys are gone.
Yeah, threw all of them under the bus, but one of the guys is still on the team.
Right, and he didn't mean to do it. Yeah. That certainly was.
It's not personal. Mean guy. Right. It's not personal, but it's the euphoria of it. In fact, somebody in the DNVR Broncos podcast, someone asked me in the comments section, did I look at Drew Lock on the sideline during the game? And I will admit I didn't. Because there's a lot of other stuff going on. But I will say that I might take a look at Drew Lock on the bench this coming Sunday in Jacksonville just to see kind of what his body language is, how he's handling it. Because how do you think he feels when I'm sure he saw the clip, I mean, or someone will probably have made him aware of it. How do you think that makes him feel that Vaughn is saying that they haven't had that since Manning, which basically means they didn't have that with you, kid.
How old is Locke? 24? 25?
25. 25 in November. Both he and Teddy Bridgewater have the same birthday. They were born 4 years apart.
With that, I know how I would react as a guy going on 53. And I'll be honest, I think I know how I would react as a guy at 25. I would look at that game that Teddy Bridgewater had and say, he was better in his first game than I was in any of my games here. That's the first thing that I would say.
Even better than the Carolina game and the Houston game that Drew Lock had.
Okay. He had big numbers, right? Yes. Touchdown passes and yards.
Mm-hmm. Higher passer rating.
Three fourth down conversions. Two plays that could have crushed a team. I keep going back to that. How do you respond to that? Right? Mm-hmm. Don't tell me about numbers. It's not all about the numbers. I've watched Drew Lock play plenty. And in those games, he played really well. Don't get me wrong. But in terms of impact on a game, fourth down conversions. Again, Okwuegbunam, I'm fumbling the ball. The team didn't fold. Hamler dropping a touchdown. The team didn't fold. The way that Bridgewater was able to maneuver the pocket. How many times did you watch Drew Lock scramble to his right away from traffic, away from pressure, and cross over his body and still complete a pass? Didn't happen often. And it didn't happen a lot. Bridgewater did that in his first game. He was terrific. I don't care about the numbers because you know what? Then Jameis Winston was much better, and he wasn't, but he threw 5 touchdown passes. So if that is going to be our metric, touchdown passes, then Winston was the best. Hold on, let me finish.
I was talking about passer rating and QBR and things like that.
What was Locke's QBR?
I believe he had a higher QBR in the Houston game in 19 than Teddy did on Sunday.
Okay. Either way, I know we need to hit a break. I would say fine. I watched him play his first game, and it was as good as my best game. Is that another way to put it? It was as good as my, maybe not better, as good as my best game. And I watched the way this guy leads. And I was in the locker room during that pregame speech. And I saw the way the team responded after a drop touchdown and a fumble. And you know what I say to myself? Right now, this guy's better than me, and I should shut my mouth and learn something.
He should, and hopefully he will.
Right. So that's how I would react as a 53-year-old. That's how I would react, knowing me back then, as a 25-year-old.
You would have reacted the same way.
Absolutely.
Okay, good for you.
Absolutely.
Because there are a lot of 25-year-olds that maybe wouldn't react in that manner.
No,
they wouldn't be magnanimous.
I've had the same philosophy, and I know we need to hit a break. I keep saying that all the time. I've had the same philosophy my entire career about what I do on air. And I'll say it to you, maybe you've never heard me say this. I will never claim to be the best sports guy at this station. I will never claim to be the best sports guy on this show. And I won't claim to be the best sports guy in Denver or this country. But what I will claim is this. I maximize my potential every day. And as long as I can do that, that means I'm being the best that I can be. And if somebody is better, I can live with that. That's what I guarantee. That's the way I was at 21 when I started, at the age of 25, and now. I maximize my potential every day, period. Coming up after the break, yardbarker.com, ranked the top offensive play callers in the NFL. Where is Pat Shurmur? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my friend Heather Taylor at Impact Commercial Real Estate. She has a 9-person team, over 50 years of experience. So if you own a business and you know location is everything, whether you're looking to buy, sell, or lease, you need to go with her team at Impact Commercial Real Estate. Their brokers rank top 10 in the Denver metro area, and they really think out of the box. I used to have my real estate license, and here's the deal. I worked with so many different realtors that did not think out of the box. They do. That's why they get deals done. That's why they really service their clients, whether it's buying, selling, or leasing. You can find them online at impactcommercial.co. That's impactcommercial.co. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service, and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
Yardbarker.com ranked the top offensive play callers in the NFL. Pat Shurmur ranked number 22. This is what they say about him. Shurmur has been there and done that in his NFL coaching career with 2 head coaching opportunities, now 4 offensive coordinator gigs. He is now tasked with stabilizing the Broncos offense, which has been a major weakness since Manning's retirement. Shurmur's offensive history has been mixed, but the addition of Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback could help Shurmur scheme his offense back to the middle of the pack. At least when I look at the top 10 offensive coordinators, it's not hard to argue that Shurmur should be nowhere near the top. Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Josh McDaniels, Frank Reich, Kevin Stefanski, John Gruden, and Arthur Smith. could you even make an argument putting Pat Shurmur in that top 10?
No, but the thing I've always said is that Pat Shurmur is a mid-tier offensive coordinator, mid-tier play caller, because we're including some head coaches, obviously, among these play callers. He's not bad. Pat Shurmur generally does as well with an offense as a whole as the talent that he's working with. If there is one thing that he does do well, it is, generally speaking, he can get, with the exception of Drew Locke, the quarterbacks with whom he's worked usually were a bit above where they were otherwise. In fact, it's actually an average of 12.0 passer rating points above where they were with other coaches. So it's not like he doesn't get quarterbacks better, but we haven't seen transcendent work from him. Just kind of, okay, it's a bit better, and that's why he's a mid-level offensive coordinator. Maybe I would have put him a little higher than 22nd, but he's not a top 10 guy.
Would you like to know who is considered last of the bunch? Because they only list 28, and then the other guys are first-year offensive coordinators. Our guy, the town crier, Eric Studisville, the Dolphins co-offensive coordinator, and I refer to him as the town crier because that guy leaked worse than a busted tire to the Denver media. And I have no problems coming out and saying that. He was the town crier. He leaked all the Broncos' dirty laundry, and I'm glad he's not here anymore. How's that?
Saying that you're glad he's not here is a little bit rough.
I'm glad he's not. No, I'll say
he was a good coach.
I didn't say he wasn't a good coach. You should not have your guy in an organization who is incredibly not loyal to the organization for personal reasons because you're upset about something and you leak stuff to the media. No, I don't want a guy like that working in my organization, even if I'm the beneficiary of it. Feel free to comment on that.
Okay.
Not about him, but in general, you know, Studisville was a media darling and he would talk to anybody that would listen. Unfair statement?
Not unfair.
You want a guy like that in your organization if you're running it?
I think some of his critiques were valid, especially in 2017.
I love working with guys who will leak to the media. But when the guy's whoring himself out to everybody, anybody who will listen, that's kind of dirty.
Sometimes you're just frustrated with things too. And there was a lot of frustration building in that 2017 season about how things were being managed.
You mean with Vance Joseph?
Yes.
Yeah. And Eric, why do you think Eric Studisville was upset?
Probably thinks that he should have gotten the job.
Well, no, he
should. Or at least gotten a longer look at the job.
He should have been the black coach that got the job, not the other black guy.
I'm not even taking it there. I'm saying that he felt like he'd been interim coach before. He'd worked his way up. I think he felt like he should have gotten the chance. We know from the Vance Joseph era how that turned out.
No, it wasn't good.
We know that Eric Studisville would not have done worse.
Let me ask you something. And I can't believe we're concentrating on Studisville here. But do you think people in the organization knew that Studisville is a leaker?
I think it's part of why he was one of the coaches that got fired.
So if the people
after 2017.
So if the people in the organization knew that he was a leaker, and let's call it like it is, he was part of trying to sabotage Vance Joseph. That's not an unfair statement either, is it?
I think that's a really strong. I wouldn't put it in those terms.
He said things. He talked out of turn. He talked out of school about the things that he didn't like about Vance Joseph as a head coach to the media, and it got out there. Is that an unfair statement?
That's not unfair.
So, why in the hell should this guy be surprised he wasn't hired as the head coach? Who in the world wants a head coach that does that? Maybe if he had a little bit more control over who he was as a human being and not being so bitter and nasty towards others and airing your dirty laundry publicly. See, adults get head coaching jobs, generally speaking. Men get head coaching jobs, not petulant children who kick and whine and then want people to know.
People get frustrated, though.
And you don't hire people like that. Man, you don't hire leakers.
I've been frustrated in jobs in the past,
right?
And believe me,
Were you calling Bill Husted of the Denver Post to let him know what was going on at AM 760?
No, but I understand why somebody would be frustrated enough to just want somebody, anybody to listen.
I got it. But here's the problem with Eric Studisville. He did get somebody to listen, and then he wanted other people to listen. I mean, if he could have held a seminar on leaking stories, he would have given open invitations.
How did we get here? This is...
Because I can't stand people like that. People who are totally disloyal to an organization. They gave you a chance. They gave you a head coaching opportunity. It didn't work out. I'm sorry. He tried to sabotage Vance Joseph by putting stuff out there. Whether true or not, that's exactly what he did. And he acted like a child, and he's somehow wondering why he wasn't hired as the head coach. You know why? Because you don't hire people who do that garbage. That's why. And oh, by the way, Yardbirker thinks you're the worst offensive coordinator in football to boot. Coming up after the break. Boy, I really went on a tangent there. I didn't think the show was going there.
Well, but it did.
I have a problem with disloyalty. Do you think John Elway wants a guy like that around? That's why he got fired. That's why Studisville got fired. And he's wondering why he wasn't hired as the head coach? Through a tantrum by leaking to the media. Everybody got a bite out of that Studisville apple with a story.
I have no problem with people talking.
Well, in the business we're in,
yes,
of course.
Exactly.
Of course we want people talking. Of course we want people talking.
And I understand his frustration.
I understand it too. And I understand why he was fired, and I understand why he wasn't hired as a head coach. You know what? Elway was right about Gase, and he was also right about Studisville. Neither qualified to be head coaches. Give him credit for that. Coming up after the break, World Anti-Doping Agency is about to potentially make a huge decision that hugely affects the world of Olympic sports. And I think Olympic athletes have been waiting for this decision for decades. That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, not retail, but wholesale, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Hot Tub Outlet. As other hot tub stores in town make you wait 12 weeks, get your new hot tub today at Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or go to hottuboutletdenver.com.
Well, when I read this story today, I thought of you, Mace. You know, thinking, man, you know, if the World Anti-Doping Agency didn't have this stance, if they didn't have the stance that they currently have, you could have probably been a multiple Olympic gold medalist. But you were too hooked on the Mary Jane, and you kept getting disqualified for positive tests. With that, the World Anti-Doping Agency, the executive committee, announced it's going to review the status of marijuana as a banned substance. For starters, it's about time, right?
It's about time because how does marijuana enhance your performance unless you're in an eating competition? If you're Joey Chestnut, maybe it does.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm being dead serious because I'm going to include you and I in this.
All right.
Okay? 100-yard dash. You and I fire up a bowl, okay? There's a plate of nachos at the finish line. You think we're running faster? Because I do.
Hey, good for you. I mean, I'm not sure it makes a difference.
With that, I'm wondering, the World Doping Agency, Anti-Doping Agency, has been the strongest, I think, of any organization in sports, amateur, professional. If they get rid of the ban on marijuana, does the NFL look at this and say, are we really the last ones standing here? Because there's kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge in hockey now about marijuana testing. Same thing in baseball. Same thing in basketball. Really, the NFL is the only one digging in its heels.
Yeah, and eventually, it's like, what's the point? Now, I think if you're the NFL, you're using this as a way to try to get something back. And Correct. That's why you wouldn't simply say, oh, we're going to take marijuana off our list of banned substances. The NFL wants to use marijuana as a way to get something else from the NFLPA. All right, we're going to take it off the list of banned substances, but in exchange, how about an 18th game?
I got to
say, something like that. That's what I mean.
There's so negotiating bad faith. It really is. You know what?
I don't
really
like
pathetic.
That, but that's how. But that's how these things go. It ends up being a quid pro quo.
But this is truly pathetic. It's truly pathetic. Where, listen, basketball players, I'm sorry. You just like to smoke weed. Don't tell me about your injuries, okay? You just like to get high, and there's nothing wrong with that. Football players, when you're getting the crap beaten out of you every single week, that is a medicinal pain medicine, right?
Yeah.
Totally different. Totally different. And the owners want to hold it over the players' heads so they can get another game out of it. Have some humanity, you old white jerks.
Well, it's not about humanity. It's about cash.
It's about
revenue generation.
It's about humanity. It's, you know what it's like?
I mean, about humanity, but you know how these things end up going.
I'm
not advocating for it. I'm saying this is how these things happen. And the owner's stance is always going to be, well, you collectively bargained this and you agreed to this.
You know what it's like? It's like taking a bottle of Advil and putting it in front of a player's face who has a concussion and a serious leg injury and just kind of dangling in front of his eyes and saying, you want the ibuprofen? You want the ibuprofen? It's going to cost you an 18th game. Mm-hmm. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. Just is.
But that's how it's might be pathetic, but this is how it works.
I understand
in the NFL circles.
But you know what?
I'm not defending it, but I'm just saying that this is how these negotiations are going to go. It's going to be, well, we will take marijuana off the list of banned substances, but what's the give and take
here? Yeah, but you know what the difference is? In the NBA, they decided to get rid of marijuana testing because of COVID. So that's what I'm saying. It's a wink. Yes. It's a wink and a nod. Now, Adam Silver is the best commissioner in all of American sports.
No doubt. And it's because of stuff like that. Because,
that's right.
Because
it's not always about the money.
Because the players are human beings.
Right. And so when you said, well, that's the way business works. No, that's the way business works with a bunch of grumpy old white men.
It's not how business should work. Ideally, business would be a little bit more, you know, holistic in nature.
Right.
But now, my experience is that it's usually not.
Right. So it's all about money, the NFL, and I get it. Well, there's a little bit more humanity in the NBA. You know what? The NBA is doing just fine. And you know what? The NBA is a global sport.
That's what the NFL wants to be.
They'll never be.
It won't be because
ever.
Are you going to get the average person in China or Russia or, you know, or Czech Republic or wherever to be interested in the NFL when they've got perfectly good sports options? I mean, you know, people around the world like soccer,
right?
And the NFL the NFL hasn't grabbed a lot of people from soccer globally.
Mace, every NFL team, I believe, is worth over at least $1 billion.
They're doing
fine. I want to shake these old, white, crotchety, stuck-in-their-way men and say, when is enough enough? Can't you just have some humanity and give these guys some dignity instead of trying to line your pockets with another game? You're waving the bottle of ibuprofen in front of their face saying, you can have it if you play another game. When is enough enough?
I concur. I mean, I don't need the 17th game.
You need to make.
I don't need the 17th game. I would have been fine. I would have been fine with 16 games and cut the preseason, but that's not happening.
And you have your gambling contracts. Your TV contract hasn't been signed yet. You could take a roll of toilet paper and literally take all the paper off of it and line it as thick with $100 bills and still have enough to make enough rolls of toilet paper fill Costco. That's how much money you have, and that's how much money you're making. But you got to have another roll to wipe your ass. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Well, Mace, the good news is you were right on your pick yesterday. The bad news is you were doing it so that maybe the Braves would win. Rockies at Braves. Game 2 of the series tonight, 5:20 Mountain Time. We'll preview that one next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products, Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, just left my friend Dan McKenzie's office about an hour and a half ago. I had to make some changes in my estate plan, and they got everything done. It was timely, and as I said to Dan and Tien, his wife, before I left, I couldn't get to his place fast enough. Because I'm thinking, if something happens to me, these changes will not be made. Well, now it is all done. Dan, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, so I did a living trust. Now, when I heard the term living trust when I was younger, I'm thinking, well, that person must have a lot of money. Well, as you know, I don't. But why is it important to have a living trust?
So living trusts are usually about keeping things private. Their primary benefit is avoiding the probate process. So that is the court oversight process for distributing somebody's assets to other people or handling any situation where someone can't handle their own affairs. So, Britney Spears is in a probate process, for example. Supposedly can't handle her estate, even though she's alive.
Right.
But usually this is about deceased people, and of course probate, people kind of have a bad perception of that, and sometimes it's true. Sometimes a probate process really can be a real pain for some, and so keeping things out of that process is can be good, and a common way to do that is to set up a trust and then title stuff to that trust, and you keep everything under your control because you're running the trust, but on paper, it's not yours anymore. It's the trust. And so, if you can't handle it, someone else to choose, unlike Britney Spears.
is she a client of yours? Is she a client of yours?
No, I wish. but no, this keeps it under your control, but on paper, it's not yours. And then someone else steps in, and they get to handle your stuff no matter what happens to you.
Okay, something else, a living will. And you don't need any money to have one of those. And I got to tell you, if I had my choice, do I want to have a trust, an estate plan, or a living will? I'll take the living will. And I don't have to have any money to have one of those. Explain what that is.
Yeah, every adult really needs one of those. So that is the estate plan. Some people they tell me, well, this is depressing to talk about and all that kind of stuff. The living will especially is, it's a pretty dark document, right? I mean, that is the questions about situation where you're not responsive and not likely to become responsive, and they are keeping you alive with the most, sophisticated medical treatment, and that's about all they're doing. Well, I'm going to keep doing that. So it is kind of among lay people, it's the unplug question. When would I be unplugged? And those are the most famous probate cases, going, right? I mean, right. If you've heard of a probate case, those, because those are very controversial, and you know, politicians get involved, and all kinds of people have opinions because of how difficult the issues they raise are.
Well, when I did my living will, we went through this process probably longer than most of your clients, because I couldn't find people willing to not want to pull the plug. And how long did that take? A couple months? I mean, I went through my whole Rolodex, and everyone's like, "Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it." And
Right.
How long did it honestly take me to find somebody who would say, "I won't do it"? It was like people were volunteering. It was like a line for samples at Costco.
Right. We're not talking about right now.
Right.
I mean, there has to be plugged in to unplug. No. Yeah, no, I mean, it's usually the other way around, right?
Right.
It's like where people, I mean, the reason we hear about those cases is because there's somebody preventing the that from happening. And, you know, there's people out there thinking, gosh, this is not how this person would want it.
Right. How do people get a hold of you, Dan?
The easiest way is to call us, 303-578-2745. They can visit our website, themckenziefirm.com.
Have a great day. I'll probably see you tomorrow. I got to stop in with that binder, okay?
Okay.
See you, man.
All right. Bye.
Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfield's has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, the Rockies and Braves continue their series in Atlanta this evening at 5:20 p.m. Mountain Time. It'll be Antonio Senzatella on the mound for Colorado and Huascar Ulloa for Atlanta. The Rockies outlasted Atlanta last night 5-4, a bit of a back-and-forth affair. If you were to pick a player to bet on tonight, either team, who do you have the most confidence in to hit a home run this evening?
Ronald Acuna Jr.
He's not playing. He's on the IL. He's been out since early July.
Shouldn't have picked him. No, I know it's not. Go ahead. Huh. You're the Braves guy, man, and you're not picking a Rockies player. Okay, I got one. Dale Murphy.
You know what? Actually, the guy I'm going to pick is Charlie Blackmon, because for some reason, Charlie Blackmon absolutely torches the Braves time and again. Maybe it's that he went to Georgia Tech and he, you know, wants to show his old town something.
So what
but
you're
Charlie
saying
Blackmon,
is
Charlie Blackmon does very well against the Braves. And then the next guy I would say, you got a righty like Senzatella pitching. So you say Freddie Freeman is probably the next most likely one.
So what you're saying is Blackmon is to the Braves what Freddie Freeman is to the Rockies, because Freddie Freeman has turned the Rockies pitching staff into his personal pinata.
Does that to a lot of teams, though.
Well, but especially okay. the Rockies, and especially early on in Freeman's career when nobody really knew who he was. All right, that was Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. You can walk in any store and try out the appliances before you buy them. Also, if you're looking to upfit your kitchen, like redesign it, they can help you. They've been doing this stuff for a long time. Sales staff, so experienced. But if you need something just to fit your budget, they can do that too. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver for extra low prices. Coming up after the break, do the Broncos have a big advantage going into Sunday's game in Jacksonville? Because it appears from multiple reports that Urban Meyer doesn't even want to coach the Jags anymore. That's next.